Greg, I would say the general reaction from Joe Public in the first hour taking the calls, I'm going to ballpark it, 60-70% of the folks said, this is another knock against Brett Laurie. He's got to get himself in check. He's got to get his emotions in check. Was this a major issue last night? Is this another knock against Laurie, or is this a fiery player just kind of taking it one step too far? How do you read this?
Well, to me, the behavior is unacceptable. And I'm glad he apologized. At least there's some progress there. He's taking some responsibility for his actions. That's a positive step. You know, you can only say the guy plays with passion. He plays with fire. He's a fiery guy. You can only say that so long. And then at some point, the kid has to grow up. He has to start producing on the field as well. And so when I look at, you know, what happened yesterday, this is a situation that should have been weeded out of his behavior a long time ago. There's no way this can happen on a major league baseball diamond. You cannot show up teammates like that. You can't show up coaches like that. And I'm actually surprised, given, you know, his fiery nature, that this didn't escalate into something bigger. Because in my day, and I sound like an old timer again, this is the kind of behavior that usually escalated into fist fights in the clubhouse, because nobody likes to be shown up like that on the field, especially by a young player who's not producing a whole lot on the field. You know, forget about, you know, if it's another a guy on the field who's getting his job done, you still don't want to be shown up. But when you couple that with the fact that he's hitting under 200 and not producing any kind of runs at all, then you look at it like, seriously, dude? Do I have to take this from you? And that's one of those things where, I look at the situation and think, you know what? Yes, he does have to get his emotions in check. Slumps are part of baseball. This isn't the last time he'll struggle as a member of a Major League Baseball team. So you might as well figure out how to deal with it now. The sooner you figure out how to deal with the down times, the shorter they last. And that's the nature of baseball. It's a game of failure. And, you know, a lot of times kids come to the big leagues having been superstar players their whole lives, having people kiss their backsides, and they have never struggled at any level. So they don't know how to deal with it. They're not equipped to deal with this kind of thing. And so, you know, couple his personality with the struggles, I understand a little bit where it's coming from, but it's still unacceptable. And if I was his teammate, I'd be really, really hesitant to accept the apology. I'd be more apt to wait and see how the future behavior takes shape.
You know, Zonny, the stuff about showing up the teammate and, you know, what he should be doing and all that, I think that's really important, and they'll have to sort that out. But the one thing, if I were the Blue Jays and a Blue Jay fan, and I'm interested in your thoughts on this, his reaction to that situation and what it was when he hit that fly ball to right and the way he responded showed me this guy's not a very smart baseball player.
Well, I don't think he's looking at the situation realistically.
Right.
Adam Lynn's not the fastest runner in the world. Nick Markakis is one of the most premier defenders in all of baseball. The guy has an absolute howitzer, and he's very, very accurate. Up among the league leaders in assists in the outfield every single season. That would have been out by a mile at home plate. The bottom line is he didn't hit the ball well enough into the outfield to get Adam Lind home. Plain and simple, and his reaction displays a bit of selfishness to his teammates and to all the other fans. Now, it surprised me. It really did. I would have never expected Brett to react like that, because I look at Brett and I think of him, yeah, he's young, he's fiery, he's a little immature at sometimes, but one thing I do know about the guy is he's an intense competitor, and I think he cares about his teammates, and I don't really... I'm actually kind of shocked by his reaction, to be honest with you.
When John Gibbons came back as manager, he was asked a number of times about his confrontations with Ted Lilly and with Shea Hillebrand. Do you think that was part of the reason when that unfolded yesterday, he did not get out of his seat, that he was not going to get put in a position, or do you think it was just the way he responded at that moment?
No, I think John Gibbons responded, you know, perfectly, right on point. There wasn't any real reason, and to be honest with you, Brett, you know, he had a couple of words with John, but he backed down right away out of respect for his manager, and that's exactly, you know, I probably wouldn't have said a word, because I didn't do the things like that when I was playing. I don't like to show up my teammates, but I definitely rarely challenged any kind of authority when it came to my manager barking at me for doing something stupid. You know, if I knew I did something stupid, I was just going to wear it and just be quiet. But the situation was handled well by John, and you know what? I think Brett reacted the proper way once he figured out that he had done something wrong and his manager was upset with him. It didn't escalate to anything else.
Greg, you're talking about from your playing days and being inside the locker room, talking to teammates, seeing it. You're in there right now, and you see Brett Laurie do this. You said on one hand, you feel like you've been shown up a little bit. You don't like the way he reacted, and you're going to sort of sit back and take the wait-and-see approach if he actually has learned from his mistake and maybe not buy his apology right off the bat. But on the other hand, you like his passion. You like how fiery he is, and you know that he cares about you as a teammate and wants to win so badly. How do you balance that as a teammate then, knowing that's just that guy's personality, but at the same time, it pisses me off sometimes when I feel like I might be getting thrown under the bus?
It's like raising a child. It really is. And I'll be the first to admit, when I first came up to the big leagues, I was not quite as amped up as he is, but I was an energetic, chit-chatty kind of guy. Shocker. And you know what? I was playing in a veteran clubhouse with guys like Cal Ripken, Brady Anderson, Ben McDonald, Chris Hoyles, Kevin Bass, you name it. There were only two young players on our team at any given point. Sometimes it was Curtis Goodwin and me. Sometimes it was Rick Krivda and me. But we were on the other side of the clubhouse. We had massive amounts of respect for our teammates, the veteran guys, and they demanded it of us. And when we acted out, we got put in our place. You know, one of the rules that I used to institute in the clubhouse was, if you're not arbitration eligible, don't even think about touching the radio. Don't touch the television. Go sit in your locker and be quiet and just play the game. And, you know what, maybe things are a little bit different now because there's a lot more younger players, but they still need to learn a little bit of respect. And they still need to understand that there's a hierarchy when it comes to a baseball team. And the veterans, if they're not demanding that respect, then they're getting what they deserve from young players like Brett Laurie. I would be right on top of him all the time in more of a big brother kind of a manner. I'd be like, look, dude, you might want to adjust the way you think about this, or you might want to adjust the way you do this. You know, maybe tone, you know, the aggressiveness down just a pinch and let the game come to you a little bit more, and you might find that you're going to see better results. It's a constant reminder that, hey, listen, you're still in a learning process. Try to avoid some of the pitfalls and the mistakes that I made during my career, because I'm trying to help you avoid those mistakes and become a better player at a shorter point in your career than I had to.
If you were the manager, would he be in the lineup tonight?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There has to be some reinforcement. You know, and I'm thinking, and in my brain, I'm playing armchair general manager. I'm trying to figure out a way to kind of rein this young man in. You know, if he doesn't start to produce on the field at some point and there's any more outbursts of any kind, I got to say, he's going to need, if it was me, he'd be gone. I'd have to send him back to the minor leagues, and you have to make a statement. There has to be some sort of penalty for poor play and poor behavior.
Well, I was going to say, like, some of this stuff takes us back to last season, doesn't it? The whole Escobar caper, the way in which the game was being played, the things that were said about the way that the locker room at the end of the year. I mean, does some of it go back to this, or do you think this is enough new faces that this is a new dynamic in place?
Well, no. I mean, there has to be a policeman in the clubhouse. The manager has so many different responsibilities. There wasn't enough time in the day for him to babysit all of the problem children in the clubhouse. And let's be honest, I mean, these are not men yet. A lot of them are boys. And that's okay, because they're really talented boys. And you know what? They're going to have to grow up and learn how to play the game at the big league level like grown men. And it takes some time. It took me some time. It takes every young player a little bit of time. Some of them, it doesn't take any time at all, and you just kind of sense that maturity. You sense the ease with which they do things at an early point in their career. They just sort of get it. Manny Machado is a guy that comes to mind, since we're talking about third baseman. You watch this kid play, he almost looks like he's falling asleep out there, but he's getting it done at a high level. He's very respectful of the game. You see him, he goes out there and he does his job. This is a situation where this clubhouse, nobody has to worry about anything. They don't look over their shoulder anymore, because the minor leagues right now are so thin. Who are they going to call up to replace them? What are they going to do? Are they going to bench you? Are you going to send me back to the minor leagues? There's no fear. There's no fear of losing your job. So people run amok. And if, like I said, if the veterans don't clamp down on the young players and teach them and demand that they behave the right way and play the game the right way, like I said, they get the behavior and the results that they deserve. It's a long summer.
Greg, does this speak, let me ask you, correct me if I'm wrong, last year there were people that were looking at John Farrell. Was he the issue? Was he able not to keep that clubhouse in order? Was the manager the problem? New manager comes in this year. Granted, yes, they made a lot of moves, a lot of new faces, but the key pieces the key pieces of this team are still arguably the same players from last year. Does it speak to a greater issue then about the lack of leadership overall? Maybe it wasn't Farrell. It isn't Gibbons. It's the core players on your team and not having that leader or not having that force or that's kind of keeping folks together in the locker room.
Well, that's an interesting dynamic that you bring up because, you know, you can't assume that the best player on the team or the biggest name on the team is the leader on the team. You can't assume that. I played with Carlos Delgado. He was here my first year as a Blue Jay. Tremendous human being, tremendous example of how to play the game. But he wasn't the kind of guy that was going to get up in the clubhouse and say something. He might interject a subtle jab here and there, but he wasn't that guy. So you can't assume that the big name guys on this team have that in their personality. Vernon Wells did not have it in his personality to be that guy. And so I look at baseball as a whole. You know, guys are rewarded year after year with massive contracts, huge contracts. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, well, yeah, you know, you might your play on the field is worth something to me, but there's also an element of what are you doing for me in the clubhouse as the main guy in that room? And those are the guys that have the ability to step up in the room and say something and have it heard and have it heeded. And the couple that with the great talent on the field, those are the guys that deserve the $15 and $20 million contracts. Those are the special people in this game. Because like I said, there's a lot of great players in the game that just don't have it in their personality to step up in a leadership role in the clubhouse, and they don't want to either because it takes a lot of effort to go around and make sure that everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing.
We only got about a minute here, Zonny, but Jose Bautista was in the middle of that whole thing yesterday. Was that a positive thing in your eyes?
I think it was a tremendously positive thing. I mean, you know, it's one thing to hear that you've messed up from your superiors. You know, it's like when your dad tells you, you know, you did something wrong. Well, you know what? When one of your contemporaries tells you, you know what? He's right. You're screwing up. It resonates sometimes a little bit louder. You know, it's easy to accept all of the criticism or hear the negativity from, you know, authority figures. But when you hear it from contemporaries, it does resonate. And I think that Jose was able to get involved and defuse the emotions that were taking place there in the clubhouse. And I think he's part of the reason why that didn't escalate into something a little bit more unfortunate.